And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He has risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, my Father and your Father, my God and your God. And so King Jesus announced the victory to Mary Magdalene and sent her off to tell the others. His death and resurrection were the beginning of a new and wondrous creation. No longer would men and women need to try and hide from God in fear of judgment, for now sin was undone, death broken, and hell stripped of its power. And with such good news, some have puzzled why Jesus told Mary, "Do not cling to me." Well, it wasn't because he wasn't fully alive or substantial at that point. You might remember later in the day he'd tell the disciples to touch him so that they would be sure that he had flesh and bone like them and wasn't some ghost. No, he wasn't concerned with Mary not touching him for that reason. It had to do with where her joy was going to find its foundation. For at that moment in the garden, her joy was completely grounded in the fact that Jesus, who was dead, was now living. And that was understandable. When someone we love comes through an accident relatively unscathed or recovers from a serious illness, what floods the heart? Simple joy that one we love is well. There's no thought about the future, what this might imply about life, what the future is going to lead to. It's just the joy that that loved one is well. And I dare say that's where Mary was when she exclaimed, "Rabboni!" It was simple joy that he was alive, period. But it turns out, simply being alive after having died wasn't even half of what Jesus' victory and resurrection were about, and he wanted Mary to begin to grasp that. Yes, I'm alive, but don't hold on to that. There's so much more. I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Jesus is ascending as the resurrected one into heaven. Now, I hit on this during our midweek services, but I want to make this point again. Resurrection is not resuscitation. Jesus is now standing again as the living one, as a man, albeit glorified in his humanity. And now time and decay and aging and death have no ability to touch him. Death has no dominion over him because sin is done, the debt is paid. And so he is the first fruits of the dead, the first human who will never experience the rendering of soul and body from each other ever again. And he, God and man, in one person, resurrected and living, having taken us to himself, having made himself one of us, he enters into the eternal realm with his glorified humanity to make a place for us in his glory. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not just that he lives. Sin is done. Death is done. He lives never to die again. He lives to return to the glory that was always his, and he's taking us with him. We join him in his place. That is why his Father is ours. In Christ, risen and glorified, we are now considered firstborn sons in God's kingdom. His God is ours, whom we may call upon in confidence that we will always be heard. Heaven is ours, and we have a place in the new creation where righteousness dwells, and the resurrection is ours. We shall not die but live. We shall be glorified. Death will not be able to hold us. Now, on the first Good Friday, as the sun set, all seemed lost. They'd killed the Lord of glory. What possible good could come from that? But now, early in the morning on the first day of the week, the stunned disciples discovered that all was restored. And all is restored for us as well. It doesn't matter how sin has twisted you, or how the sins of others have hurt you, or how death has robbed you, or how hell seeks to plague you. All of that is swept away as Christ the King leaves the tomb and shows forth his victory. All will be restored for you. A conversation this week with a person who belongs to a different church, and she commented, knowing that I was a pastor, that a lot of preachers she knew agonized over their Easter sermons, worried about coming up with something new and fresh that the folks hadn't heard 1,000 times already, and she wondered if I found preaching Easter a challenge. I smiled and said, "Heavens, no. It's one of the easiest ones to preach because it doesn't need anything new. is a gloriously old history that we recount every year, and it never needs to change because we always need to hear it. I don't need to tell you that in this world, we are always in need of hope, grace, and the news of the resurrection. For sin, heartache, loss, and fear remain potent, and they put even the most steadfast of the faithful into doubts and anxieties. Yet it remains true that the tomb is empty, and Christ has overcome all, and King Jesus promises you a share in the spoils of his victory. But not all at once. In this tired old world, there are still places, circumstances that wait to be touched by his triumph. Yet Jesus lives, and his Father is ours, and his God is ours. And the day is coming when all will be made new, for Christ is risen.
He is risen
indeed. So rejoice. He lives, he has established a place for you at his side, and you shall rise. By his death and resurrection, he has won the victory and is restoring all things. Alleluia. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.